to our last cheer of the season. I realize that as a fundraising effort, I should have regularly said that this would be the last cheer of the season because we have more sponsors for this year than we had for any other previous one. So I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone who did sponsor this year, to both Bernie and Susan Liebtag, as well as Aryeh and Debbie Langer. Both families are sponsoring for Refuah Shleimah for both Eve Messing and for Miriam Jacoby. I want to thank and welcome Golda Shtra Aaron, who is sponsoring in memory of her cousin, Joel Schwartz. And finally, Rabbi and Mrs. Oberstein, who are sponsoring in honor of the forthcoming bar mitzvah of their oldest grandson, David Lassen.
Okay.
Everyone should have a roof.
This is the last year.
Yes. Well, if you'll sponsor again, we'll have another last year. Anyway, apropos to the lights going out on the shir, I decided, at least temporarily, I wanted to give the topic of Kriya Shema Al Hamita. And I want you to know it is a skula, because I realized as I was lifting up my neck, as it was like totally and permanently indented at a 90-degree angle at around 6:30 this late afternoon, that apparently while you're preparing a shir, even in midday on Kriya Shema Al Hamita, if you're as tired as I am, it puts you to sleep. And I was yored mitoch limudai like this for at least an hour. I mean, it's the best sleep I've had in a while. It just was an inopportune time. So if my neck looks like a little off, that's because I was preparing this year in the afternoon. And apparently it puts you to sleep. Anyway, I hope I won't put you to sleep. I think it's a very, very interesting topic, one which we, myself included, don't usually spend enough time researching. In Balak, in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet, this is part of course, Barak, Balak's second bracha of the Jewish people, we are told the following. Hein am kalavi yakum, that this nation will arise like a lion, ucha'ari yisnasa, and also raise itself like a lion. The first one's a cub, and then the second one is an older lion. Lo yishkav, and here's the important point for us, lo yishkav ad yochal teref, that it will not lie down until it consumes teref, its prey. Vadam chalalim yishta, and will drink the blood of its slain. So on the Pashup Shat and the Chumash, it's rather graphic and belligerent, perhaps even to a sense. Rashi, a very famous Rashi here, says the first part, Am Kalavi Yakum, when you're getting up in the morning strong like a lion, talks about Kriya Shema. Kishen Omdin Mishnasam, Shakras, Hemis Gabrim, Kalavi Uchari, Achtofas Mitzvahs. It's all a metaphor. It's they're jumping out of bed to do mitzvahs like a wild wild lion. Then, however, the important part for our topic, the second Rashi, Lo Yishkav, they shouldn't go to sleep. But Lila, it's referring to the people sleeping at night, Al Mitaso, on their bed. They shouldn't do that, Achu, Ochel, Mchabel, Kol Mazik, Habal Tarfo, until they've taken care of all of their needs and they've protected themselves from all the people, demons or others who would damage them at night. Ketzad, and how do they do all this? Kariyas Eshmal Mitaso. You take care of your physical needs, Rashi continues, but the more important thing for us is Kriya Shema Lamita. It's alluded to in this week's Parsha, says Rashi, in the Bracha, and somehow that will protect the Jewish people. Bilam's giving, unknowingly or unintentionally, a Bracha to us, and this is the Bracha that we have a secret now of how to protect ourselves through Kriya Shema Alamita. Can I get a Gemara Brachos? This Rashi, again, it's a nice drush, it's a medrash, it connects to our Parsha. But the truth is that the Gemara Brachos does discuss, someone took it off the shelf? The Gemara in Brachos, thank you, here's a Brachos.
We use
this
one,
oh, look at that.
For that for years.
How many years ago did you go to NTSY Kollel?
And Efrat,
how many years ago was that? Okay, well, you can have it back. I tell you all the time, there's a school that is sponsoring this year. Sometimes it's you ask good questions, and in this case, you find the long-lost Gemara. So, the Gemara in Brachos does discuss this idea of a Kriya Shema Alamita. We expect it in Brachos, really in three different Gemaras, and it's not surprising that our pasuk in the parsha is not quoted. That's not a bona fide source. It's just an allusion, apparently. But the Gemara does discuss this both on Daf Dalet Amud Beis and as well as on Daf Hayamid Aleph, right in the beginning of the Masechta. The Gemara says at the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Arm Bishu ben Levi, Alpha Pishakar Adam Kriya Shema Beis Knesset. Even though you've already said you've davened Mariv, you've already davened Kriya Shema. Mitzvah lekros al mitoso. You should repeat it another time in bed before you go to sleep. And what's the source that's here? Perek in Tehillim, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Hey, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maikra, Ragzu, Va'al, Techtu, Amru, Bilvavchem, Al, Mishkavchem, Damu Sela. Which, as Rashi explains, is referring to, explains the breakdown of the Limud, how this is alluding to the Bilvavchem is a reference to that word in Kriyat Shema, and Amishkavchem, when you're lying in bed, when you're going to be Mishkav, then you should mention the Bilvavchem, you should mention the Kriyat Shema. That's one makor in the Gemara. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, this is a really fascinating comment, Kol HaKori, because let's stop for a moment, other than the Rashi and our Parsha, which is a little bit of allusion, the first and primary Gemara does not tell us why you have to do it. Why do you have to say Kriyat Shema Lamita? Even though you did it in Ma'ariv, you should still do it. Why? We'll get to that. Very good, very good. It could be. For the most part, is not considered, but even though most people have daven ma'ariv, even if you daven ma'ariv at the right time, there's still reason to say it. But you're right, Joey, we will see in Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, depending on when you daven ma'ariv, it will affect the status of Kriyat Shema Lamita. That's very good. But here we have another, in a certain sense, even more vivid reference to Kriyat Shema Lamita. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak called Kriyat Shema Lamita. So anyone who does this and says Kriyat Shema Lamita, kilu oches cherem shall stay pios biyado. It's as if you're holding a double-edged sword, warding off the mazikim, warding off the demons and those looking to harm you. Shneamar, and here's a pasuk from Tehillim Kuf Mem Tes, Romamus el begronam cher pios biyadam. And then the Gemara takes a few more lines to develop the limud as to why this has anything to do with us. Furthermore, a few lines later, Rabbi Yitzchak again says, and they are the proof texts of Pasuk in Iyov. So you will be protected from the Mazikin. So, first thing we see is consistent repetition now in a very short 20 lines of Gemara or so. Three different memras in the Gemara, all telling us in a certain sense an obligation and a reality that there is such a thing called Kriyat Shema Lamita. That's number one. Number two, perhaps most intriguingly, both we'll see if it has halach significance, but certainly just in terms of what are we talking about here, we have this reference on and off again to Mazikin, to somehow protection. Again, we didn't get that at all in Rashi, at least not explicitly in Rashi, but it started off with in Rashi, when that's, in essence, Rashi, quoting from the Medrash, that was why if the, even if it's allusion in our parsha to Kriyat Shema, but why is it referenced in the context of an Ari, and a Lavi, and the answer was, again, in essence, you know, if you want to deconstruct from kind of almost a literary perspective, a poetic perspective, the Medrash, it saw in those very strong and almost militaristic type animals and the images and visions a reference to the fact that this, which is being referred to, Kriyat Shema, has that a power just like an Ari and Alavi can defend itself, so too the Kriyat Shema will defend itself. But certainly that's picked up on by the Gemara and Daf Hei much more explicitly. First, it's explicit in the last memra. Lo mazikin medilimine. You're going to be protected from mazikin, quote unquote. And in the previous Gemara on Daf Hei, this idea of the double-edged sword, you know, fighting off the bad guys, certainly is a very vivid metaphor. Just before we get to the halacha, what are these mazikin? What are we talking about? What are we being so protected from? At night? So there's three explanations that I saw in the different mefarshim. Number one is that even though we don't necessarily understand it, but there are numerous examples in Shas where they speak about mazikin being out at night. Gemara talks about Talmud Chacham shouldn't be holech yichidi, he shouldn't go by himself, and we have a lot of Gemaras which, if you're somewhat, if you're hardwired remotely like me, you have a hard time understanding. These literal and metaphorical, what are these things? Shadim, mazikim, I don't know what they are exactly. But this Gemara to make it up. In other words, we have a general phenomenon of mazikin, and that there's a particular idea that they come out at night. Okay, so this is just another example of a way of warding them off, and whatever they always are, that's what it means here too. That's the pashtus, frankly. But I saw two other explanations that are possible. One is from a sefer called the Pri Etz Chaim that says it's particularly related not just to nighttime, but the Gemara's Lashon is never nighttime. It's always mitaso. So some say it has to do with Tumas Keri. which would obviously make this something that you would assume only men would say, that somehow relates to having a seminal emission overnight, which would make you tamei. So perhaps we're davening, we're saying the Kriya Shema in a sense to avoid that. And then, perhaps most interestingly, and here from a real mainstream source, the Meiri. The Meiri in Brachos says, nighttime is when you either consciously as you're falling asleep, or even subconsciously as you're sleeping, it's a time where you have inappropriate thoughts. It could be inappropriate of any, there are lots of different types of inappropriateness. But you could have the inappropriate thoughts, bad thoughts, get creep into your mind, and therefore when you go to sleep, the last thing you say is you daven, that you should be Kriya Shema, you should be protected from this. So again, that to me has been very fascinating. It's not something completely external and supernatural, or metaphysical, like the Mazikin that we generally think of. And it's not this very almost base or physical issue of the Tumas Keri, but it's rather something, you know, within oneself that we're always looking for this. And again, it's reminiscent, actually, of the drasha I gave on Parsha Shlach. I know I gave it in the main minyan. I'm not sure if I gave it in the other minyanim. About the idea which we saw with Kalev and Yoshua, and the idea that one of the inyanim of davening, which you don't always appreciate, is you can daven for spiritual success. Not just for health, not just for material things. You can daven for spiritual success. That's what we saw, Kalev davening for himself, Moshe davening for Yehoshua. And here also, again, according to the Meiri, in essence, that's what Kriya Shema is, Alamita. We're in a sense davening so that we should be protected spiritually from anything that inappropriate may happen, even against our will, even unconsciously, subconsciously, over the night time. But that's just l'shem, what are these mazikin? But that's obviously not what we want to focus on. We want to focus on the halachas, although we'll see the mazikim will come back in a short while, even potentially for as to affect the halacha. But before we even get to the issue of the mazikim, just a few of the basic halachos, just, you know, Kriya Shema 101. What are we talking about? So first of all, if you take a look, this all is in Shulchan Aruch Siman Reish Lamed Tes, 239. And there, you'll take a look, right in the beginning, the Mishnah Berurah points out, and the Shaar Tzion points out, that Mi'ikr Hadin, really the only thing you need to say is the first pasuk, that's Shema Yisrael, and the first parak v'yahavta. That's all you have to say. That's the farish in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar Tzion. However, Mishnah Berurah points out, what if you daven Ma'ariv early, you daven Ma'ariv before Tzeis, and therefore our minhag is that we say Kriya Shema in Ma'ariv anyway, Aser Atzila, but we always try to remember, right, say Kriya Shema after dark, Shesivra Tzeis. So Mishnah Berurah says, if you daven Ma'ariv early, so then you need to say, you don't have to say Kriya Shema Stam at 10 o'clock at night while you're still sitting on the couch. When you go to bed, you'll say Kriya Shema Lamita, but then you say the full Kriya Shema, and the Mishnah Berurah says, and you should have in mind that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and you can have two for the price of one. You can fulfill that mitzvah of Kriya Shema Balayla with your Kriya Shema Hamita. Lamaisa, I think our practice, for the most part, is to say the whole Kriya Shema, even if we daven Ma'ariv late. And that comes from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, even though it's not required, I don't think anyone argues that it's required. It's not required. But the Magen Avraham quotes from a Medrash. It says, the Medrash is that it's better to say the whole Shema every night, because we know that the Shema corresponds to 248 limbs, and therefore, again, it'll be healthier, it's better. Say the Shema, say the whole Shema, you know, a little is good, and a lot is better. Do the whole thing. And that seems to be the minhag based on that Magen Avraham. Another issue. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Yes, that's what the Magen Avraham says. Again, it's not Bikra Din, but that's he encourages it, and I think that's relatively speaking, as much as you can tell a minute about what people are doing in their pajamas at night in their bed, hard to pull for that. But I think that's more widespread. There's another nafkamina based on, again, the first thing which Joey had anticipated, we already mentioned, which is how much do you say. There's another thing which the post can speak about, different practices, which also may come down to that, and that is, what position are you in, bodily position are you in when you say it? So in theory, we have three positions. You can be standing, you can be sitting, or you can be lying down. So the shaila is, what's appropriate, what's allowed? So the Mishnah Berurah, again here in Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah is a Sifkan Vav, basically says the following. Mikra Adin, the basic pshat, the sheet that he holds is, it depends. If you're fulfilling your mitzvah of Kriya Shema Balayla because you daven Ma'ariv early, so then you're doing, not stama thing, you're doing a mitzvah daraisa. So then he says, L'chachila, you shouldn't be lying down, L'chachila, you should at least be sitting up. because you're doing a Kriya Shema. Would you lie down in the morning to say Kriya Shema? You shouldn't be lying down, even though B'Shapacha, I know, it's B'Shapacha. Right, but that's not how we hold. That's not how we hold. We hold it just means nighttime. And therefore, L'Chachila, it's more B'Kavadik, you should be sitting up. However, he says, depends who you're asking. Now, you're letting me off easy. I thought you were going to say, but a rabbi, I'm asking you. So I would say you don't have to. It's okay. You could be in your pajamas. You could be in your pajamas. Again, well, we're getting into real privacy stuff. What do you wear for pajamas?
Yeah.
Whereas my little baby's going to say, PJs, I have PJs. Anyway, okay. But that's the Mishnah Berurah says, that's if you did daven ma'ar, if you daven ma'ar early. But if you daven ma'ar, if you went to 10 o'clock minyan, you davened after tzei, so you're only saying Kriya Shema Lamita for this new Maseches Brachos, Parshas Balak idea. So then he says, no problem, you can say it lying down. No problem, you can say it lying down. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Then, that's all opinion number one. But then he says, Yesh Omrim, Yesh Machmirim. There are those who say that you should be Machmir, who say you should always, whether you said ma'ar early or late, you should always say it standing up or sitting down. But even the Machmirim allow that if you've already lied down, then you can already say it, you don't have to get up. In other words, whether you daven early or late, whether it doesn't matter. Even according to Boshitas, all of that was L'chachila. The Maisa Be'ikra Din, it seems to be, especially if you daven Marv on time, but even if you daven early, that's my impression of the Mishnah Berurah, if you've already lied down, you don't have to get up. Now again, how much effort is it to get up? I guess it depends on how exhausted you are. Sometimes it's a lot of effort. Okay, that's also true, which we'll get to in a second. That's gonna. Actually, I don't know if we're gonna get to that, but he said the more tired you are, the less likely it is that you'll make it through before falling asleep. So you should know. You should know that that's a discussion in terms of what you should say first. We'll see a little bit that machlokes, but I wasn't planning on actually mentioning this point. So Roy Friedman mentioned it. I'll say it now. It is related. There's a discussion, as we'll see, a machlokes about Kriya Shema and Hamapil, which one comes first. So some posts can say it depends on how tired you are. Go figure. You don't see that too often in halacha. It depends how tired you are, because if we're worried that you're not going to fall, some say it's better to say Hamapil second, unless you're worried that you're going to fall asleep and you're not going to get to it. And then they say you should say it first. So, but that is a machlokas in general, what the order is. We'll see. That's a machlokas rishonim, what the order is. But we'll get to that. But that could relate to this as well. I don't know if no one says it. I didn't see it. I can't say no one says it. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. If you find it, let me know. For the book, I'll be happy to mention it in the footnote. But I don't know. I'm not familiar. Yeah, we say the whole Shema. Now let's get to a little lumdus. Let's get to a little. Let's try to dig a little deeper and let's return the mazikin. We banished them, but we're going to bring the mazikin back. If you can open the door, go this year. We're going to invite the mazikin back. The bottom line is, you see from this Gemara. The Gemara and Brachas that you see that there seems to be two things going on here. There seems to be a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema Lamita. There also seems to be this element of warding off the mazikin, whatever they are. The question is, what is the relationship between those two things? And there really seems to be two possibilities. One possibility is that you're in danger from some force. Let's assume the most likely perish of the Gemara, it's these mazikin that are anyway out at night, which we see from other Gemaras. So you're in danger. And because you're in danger, there's a mitzvah. It's obviously not the raisa, but there's a mitzvah. Midr Rabbanan Chazal said, you know what? You have a mitzvah to protect yourself. Right? Called the tikkun, kain d'oraisa. Tikkun, we know. We have other mitzvahs about protecting yourself and living a healthy life and not doing things, etc., etc. Usually those are generally in a catch-all of a d'oraisa to avoid danger, to avoid dangerous things. But maybe here we have or even Shmarta Safir Sechem, you should be careful. I take that back. I misspoke a minute ago. Shmarta Sechem, so here on the Darabanan level, say the Kriya Shema Lamita in order to protect yourself from Mazikin. In other words, it's a mitzvah because it's dangerous, because of the Mazikin. That's one possibility. In other words, that the Ikr is the Mazikin. In other words, what I'm saying, the Ikr is the Mazikin. Or perhaps they're totally two different things. Maybe there's a mitzvah because there's a mitzvah period. And it'll also protect you. These two possibilities, I think, are really expressed in the various mafarshim, and I think there are actually some very specific nafkamina that may really emerge. So the truth is that our Gemara is not clear about the relationship. Yerushalmi, the parallel Gemara in the Talmud Yerushalmi, is explicit. It says, beferish, why do you say Kriya Shema Lamita? In order to protect yourself from the mazikin. Very, very clear that is the reason.
That's why you don't go to
We'll get to that in a second. We're going to get to that. Incidentally, the Sefer, the Perish Charedim on the Yerushalmi says a wild Kiddush. I can't believe it's true, but it's so wild it's worth sharing. Sefer Charedim says that he wants to interpret this Yerushalmi in light of the sugya in the beginning of Brachos with the famous Rashi Tosfos that Joe was alluding to about, well, did I daven early, did I daven late? And we know the famous discussion, Rashi Tosfos, that if I daven early, perhaps the Kriya Shema Lamita is in essence was nitkin in order to fulfill my mitzvah to Araisa of Kriya Shema at night. Says Sefer Charedim, he puts that all together and then takes a huge, giant leap, which I don't think you have to take. And therefore he says, you see from this Gemara that the whole purpose of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, that the Araisa Kriya Shema is for Mazikim. Yeah, that's a big leap. But that's what he says. Again, I just think it's worth noting, but I can't believe it's really true. But it's hard to say that about the Kriya Shema, right? You know, you look at all the Rishonim, it's Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shamayim, it's a Chiyus Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's lots of things. Whoever heard of Mazik? Okay, that doesn't seem to be what he says. Okay, but you know, no one says about Kriya Shema Boker. Oh, you say because they're not out at night, they're only out at night. Okay, hard to say, but he did say it. And if you want, if you're going to be his Melech, Gegezunt. So you shouldn't have to take you to the Kriya Shema. I don't know. I'm not holding any kind of things. I don't know. Well, we're going to get to that. That's what Alan mentioned also. Yeah. But we don't take down the mezuzahs. No, I don't think so. Anyway, the bottom line is Tosfos in Brachos Daf Beis and Tosfos in Chulin and Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis seem to also be explicit that Kriya Shema Alamita, maybe it's a mitzvah also, but the ikar is that it's for to protect us from the mazikin. In fact, the Tosfos in Chulin, actually an issue which I want to get back to in a moment, Tosfos in Chulin actually say go so far as to say that's why there's no bracha on Kriya Shema Alamita. Because we don't make a bracha on something that's being done just for us. The ikar is that you're doing it for yourself. That ikar, not doing it for Hashem, the ikar, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to protect you. Tamidi Rabbeinu Yonah and Bracha seem to say this. All this is the main, the most of the Rishonim say this explicitly, that it's because of the Mazikin. However, you have an indication, perhaps in some Rishonim, but it seems to be more clearly in at least two Achronim of a little bit of a different pshat. The Magen Avram, here in our Siman and Sif Beis, has an idea. I don't remember offhand if it was his owner, he got it from somebody earlier, but he definitely says it. Perhaps it's a whole different idea. Again, the Mazikin is a factor, it's in the Gemara. But that does not necessarily seem to be the ikra for him, or it's not the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? That you should go to sleep mitoch devrei Torah. That the last thing on your mind should be as you're going to sleep, you should swing sleeping sweet dreams, you should be yored l'shenoso mitoch devrei Torah. That's the next Gemara, we didn't get to it. But the Gemara doesn't say that's why. You're interpreting the Gemara, which may be correct. That's Machlokes Rishonim interpreting the Gemara. Very good. I'm coming to that. The Magen Avraham says that's the reason for Kriya Shema Alamita.
You can be Yotzei Talmud Torah, but
since you both mentioned before the issue of Pesach, you're right, but maybe not in a way that either of you realized. It's true that we have this idea, well, Pesach night, the Seder night, is Leil Shemurim, we leave the door open, etc., or unlocked, etc., and that has an effect on Kriya Shema. But what's the effect, Alan? What's the effect, Eli? Do we not say Kriya Shema Alamita that night? That's not the minhag. The Ma'aril is quoted by the Ramah in Siman Tuf Pei Aleph Siv Beis. So you don't have to say all of Kriya Shema. But the lashon there is, you still say Shema, first paragraph, and you still say Amapil. So I saw that there were some who pointed out, including Rav Asher Weiss, says that's a raya like the Magen Avram. If you hold that the whole Kriya Shema Alamita is from Azikim, so you shouldn't have to say it at all. The fact that we say it anyway, despite the fact that it's a Leil Shemurim, shows that there must be an additional element. You want to go to sleep, mitoch divrei Torah on Pesach night as well. In order to flesh this out, and as well to give a little bit more meat to it, as well to see even some more shitas on both sides, let's share four possible nafkamina to this question. Who would have thought? But I think they have at least four. Maybe someone will come up with a fifth, but I think I've found four nafkamina to this question.
Can I ask quickly, how does the Lashon of Shema protect you from Azekin? What is in there that, I mean, it's not a lesson like, God, protect me from the mazikim. I mean, how does that...
So, I'm not sure, because as I may have... I thought it was pretty transparent. I don't get these things. I'm not sure. But it may very well be, you know, there are all these psukim or parshas that it's in the Siddur. I don't know if we all say it or not. Afterwards, those are more explicit about protection, and it's those that the Maril said we don't say on Pesach night. But you're asking a good question. Again, especially according to those we've shown him, the Tosfos connects the Shema itself to the Mazikin.
So,
a little bit, right? That's true. Right, right. But again, the Shema itself, Tosfos. Right, yes, exactly. Yes, yes. Could be. I mean, Alan's asking a good question. Why don't we say give tzedakah right before you go to sleep? Right, that's your question. I don't have a good answer to that question. I don't have a good answer. Number one, nafkamina, would be exactly what Sam alluded to. I skipped it intentionally, but in between the two gemaras that we started the shiur with, Daftal and Rebeis and the gemaras of Rav Yisrael with a double-edged sword, in between those two, right on the top, the first line of Hey Amar Aleph was what Sam alluded to. Amar of Nachman in Talmud Chacham Hu Ein Sarach. Talmud Chacham does not have to say Kriya Shema Al Hamita. Why? Shirog, so what does Rashi say? That's a machlokes. What's the reason? So Rashi says, Shirogu b'mishnoso, lach sorag yersoso, tamid daya b'kach. The question is, what's the therefore? The Talmud Chacham is always reviewing, mistama, he's always reviewing, he's got the Torah on the tip of his tongue anyway. The question is, what's the therefore? So Rashi gives you a hint, but doesn't necessarily go all the way. But if you take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah on the Gemara, then it's Siv and the Merome Sada on the Gemara, they both make it explicit that the reason that the Talmud Chacham doesn't need to say it is because his Torah will protect him from Mazikin. We're back where we started. It's all about Mazikin, but we said, like we said, what's Kriya Shema doing? So maybe the answer is Kriya Shema is a type of Talmud Torah. It's easy Talmud Torah, people know it by heart, they can say it in bed, it's fine. But if you're Talmud Chacham, and anyway, as you're falling asleep, you're dreaming about the Ketos and the Nesivis, so that's also certainly going to be a nice protection for you. That's how those who are showing them understand it. However, if you take a look at the Magen Avram, Sifkat Nevav in the Siman, he says something a little different, and you could perhaps read this in Rashi, and I think the Magen Avraham really thinks that he's in Rashi. And I think it's some mukhrich, but I think he's, if I had to ask me, I think the Magen Avraham is right, that Rashi is probably like him. Magen Avraham says, really the issue is, not because of Mazikin, but because the whole purpose of the whole mitzvah is, you should fall asleep, you know, you should yarm, l'shenaso, v'toch tevrei Torah, that's a beautiful, almost musari idea, right, you're going to sleep with Torah in your mind, Torah on your lips, so that's for you and me, who might anyway be thinking about what do we have to do tomorrow, and all the sorrows from yesterday, and sorrows from tomorrow, and so the Talmud Chacham, who anyway is falling asleep thinking about tevrei Torah, that's the whole purpose of Kriya Shema, so he should fall asleep thinking about tevrei Torah, but if he's thinking about tevrei Torah anyway, what do we need to interrupt him for the Torah he was learning to make him think Kriya Shema? He's already thinking about Torah. So it's clear that the idea of the Talmud Chacham has to do with Torah. I mean, that's taught a lot. That's what we mean when we say Talmud Chacham. But what about Torah is important. And you see from the different Mefarshim, different explanations. Some Mefarshim, like Rabbeinu Yonah and the Merem Hasoda, connect that back to Mazikim. And others, Rashi perhaps, and certainly the Magen Avraham, say, no, it's nothing to do with Mazikim. Why? Because as I suggested, perhaps the bigger issue is, does the whole mitzvah have to do with Mazikim? Yes, it protects you, but is that the whole essence? And it could be that this Magen Avraham and Rashi are on the side, as I alluded to before, of that Ma'aril and Hilchos Pesach. Perhaps there's an additional dimension of mitzvah as well. Another issue, the order. This I mentioned before, let's talk about it now. The Gemara does not tell us anything about the order of Hamapil and Kriya Shema. In fact, we didn't even see the Gemara yet about Hamapil. The Gemara in Hamapil is a long text which is quoted in the Gemara in Brachos Tafsamach Amaral. Where's the Lashon here? And I'm not going to read it inside anyway. It's particularly long, especially in the Gemara. But anyway, we do have an idea of a bracha that we say known as Hamapil. So the question, you can find it in the Siddurim. The question is, which one do you say first? That's not in Gemara at all. That's the Machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Zayin Halacha Beis tells us that you say Hamapil first and then Kriya Shema. That's the Rambam Shita. I don't know if it's Enechanami. It might be a separate key. I'm not sure how to be magdi that, but I don't know if you're not Yotzei without it. We're going to get into Hefsek. I'm going to get to that. That's why I want to end the shiur on that whole topic, okay? It seems like an issue of protection. So I want to get to focusing on Hamapil itself at the end of the shir. It's an issue of, can I talk afterwards? Can I eat afterwards? And I'm always hungry. You tell me I can't eat anymore for the day. I'm getting nervous already. You know what I'm saying, Joey. Come on, you know what I'm saying. I hear you. We'll find good support for you, Joey. Don't worry. You think I would start a shir like this and not have some support for that? I have your back, Joey. I have your back. It wouldn't be the first time. You were afraid of what I was going to say. There's diplomatic ways of handling it. You know that. Okay. So the Rambam says you say Hamapil then Kriya Shema. However, if you look in Tur and Shulchan Aruch, they reverse the order. Say Kriya Shema, then Hamapil. The Magen Avraham says V'chein Ikra like the Shulchan Aruch. You should say Kriya Shema and then Hamapil. If you want to look for a defense of the Rambam, take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan. He tries to defend it. Mishnah Berurah maybe tries to compromise. I alluded to before, are you tired? You're not tired. That's not Mishnah Berurah of Katan Beis. But the Magen Avraham, this is a lamda shel Magen Avraham. The Mamash is like a brisker lamda Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham doesn't just, he tells you who he likes better, he likes Shulchan Aruch and Tur, but then he says, I'll give you a beer of the whole machlokas. He says, it really goes back to what is the essence of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Lamita. He says, Rambam holds that the Iker is Mazikim. The Rambam holds the Iker is Mazikim of Kriya Shema. And therefore, if you were to do anything after Kriya Shema, that would be a hefsek, because we want it to go, you want to protect you right before you go to sleep. However, the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, says the Magen Avraham, they hold, it's this idea of you should have a connection, you know, you should be Yoreh L'Shena B'toch Talmud Torah. I'm sorry, I said it, yeah, I'm sorry. Who said anything about Shadim? I tell you, this is the Magen Avraham. It's not me. It's the Magen Avraham. But I misspoke. I'm sorry. The Rambam holds an issue of Mazikim that he said, and therefore that's why the Rambam says say Kriya Shema afterwards. And Hamapil is clearly talking about protection. And since Kriya Shema is also a protection issue, it's not a hefsek between the bracha of Hamapil and going to sleep. Because as we know in general, when it comes to brachos, not every time you say a word is that a hefsek. It's only a word. It's only a hefsek if you're talking about something extraneous. But here, since Kriya Shema according to the Rambam is the same theme as Hamapil, it's about Mazikim, says the Magen Avraham, that's why he holds you could have Kriya Shema in between. It's not a hefsek. As opposed to Tur Shulchan Aruch, they hold that the whole purpose of Kriya Shema is you should be Yorid L'Shenoso B'Toch Devei Torah. That's wonderful. Protecting you from Azikin is wonderful. You shall be protected. But they're two separate things. And therefore you have to first do the Devei Torah thing first, and then say the Bracha Hamapil, so there shouldn't be a Hefsek. Now that raises the issue which Joey alluded to, which is this idea of Hefsek by Hamapil, which we'll get to. Because now I'm not going to focus on Hamapil just yet. I just want to point out to you that according to the Magen Avraham, this Chakira that we raise about what's the purpose of Kriya Shema, that itself is the Shor Shemachlokes between the Rambam and the Tur Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, about the order. That would be Nafkamina number two. Nafkamina number three is there a bracha? And assuming there is no bracha, why is there no bracha on Kriya Shema Lamita? So the truth is this relates to the bigger question of is there a Brachas HaMitzvah on Kriya Shema at all? That is a major machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim say there isn't, and if not, why? And other Rishonim say there is. That's Ava Rabba, that's Ava Solam, etc. But of course, you know that all the brachas we say before Kriya Shema at night or during the day are not a typical Brachas HaMitzvah. We don't say Shekhar Shem Sosav Zivanu. Why not? So that's a whole separate shir. Maybe that'll be next year in any one of the we have various parshas we could speak about Kriya Shema in. Leonetta, we'll talk about that another time. That's a whole discussion. But there are major Rishonim. That's a real meat and potatoes kind of a sugya. But whatever you'll say about general Kriya Shema, what about Kriya Shema Lamita? So here is Machlokas. I already alluded to the Tosfos in Chulin, which I'll get back to. But the truth, there's another Shita. And this relates to regular Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema Lamita. And this is a Shita of the Gaonim. The Gaonim are quoted by the Rosh, right in the beginning of Masechta Brachos, Aleph Aleph, the Tur in Reish Lamed Hey from Rav Amram Gon, and basically they say, listen, there is a bracha. There always is a bracha Mitzvah on Kriya Shema. There always is a bracha Mitzvah on Kriya Shema. And they suggest, therefore, that there should be a bracha Mitzvah on Kriya Shema Lamita, since they hold that really, really, it's the Iker fulfillment of Meshach Bucha anyway, since we're all davening early in their day, we're really fulfilling our mitzvah of Kriya Shema at night anyway during the bedtime. That's our mitzvah of Kriya Shema Belila, and they hold in general you need to have a Berachas Mitzvah, whether they held of a different Nusach, or they held that Ar Ava Rava, or whatever counts, is a separate issue, but they hold you need a Bracha, and therefore you even need a Bracha for Krishma Alamita. No, no, there'll be something else. There'll be something, the Hamapil is for sure not it. I think so, that's how I understand it. Yes, yes, yes. And the Tosas and Chulin, as we said, no. Why not? But again, the point is, why not? Because we don't make brachas when we're protecting ourselves from mazikin. So again, these two approaches, I'm not saying you have to come to the conclusion of the Tosos or the Gaonim, the Rosh or the Gaonim. The point is, you're only going to start talking about an issue of a bracha if you think there's a real mitzvah here. If you think it's only for mazikim, so then it's obvious that there's not going to be a bracha. And in the Gemara. Right, the question is it... It's a mitzvah to take care of yourself. But on those type of mitzvahs, right, Melch Sedomis, right, on Mayim Achronim or something, we don't make a bracha on that. It's the same Tosis, it's Sugin Chulin, that's what the Tosis is on. Right, we don't make a bracha on things which are for the mitzvah for taking care of ourselves. I didn't say it's not a mitzvah. Everyone agrees it's a mitzvah. Shalas, is the mitzvah the mazikin, the protection, or is the mitzvah and the mazikin two separate things? One final issue, but then I want to get to Hamapil because we're running out of time. An interesting question is, are women obligated? Are women obligated in Kriyas Shema Alamita or not? Magen Avram says women are potter. Women don't have to do it. It's alamita. It's a night. So Mr. Sayyid says Mangrama. And the El Yerabah says, what are you talking about? You can already anticipate where he's going. It's for a Shemira. It's for Mazikin. Women need the protection for Mazikin as much as anybody else. And I would suggest that this is the Magen Avram Lashitasa. This is the third time I quoted the Magen Avram. And in each time, he has been the one who has mentioned this idea explicitly, or his sheet has been consistent with the idea of it's Yared L'Shenasa Mitoch Devei Torah. There's a whole other dimension. It's not just about Mazikin. This is a whole other positive dimension. And if that's the case, not only might it be Mitzvah Grama, but if you wanted to connect it really to Talmud Torah, women are pater from Talmud Torah. And therefore, it makes sense, according to the Magen Avraham, why women would be exempt. If you hold the whole thing as Mazikin, then you'd say they're obligated. Now, everyone says they can do it. No one says they can't do it. The question is whether they're obligated to do it or not. I don't have time to get into it, but it's possible this I saw, this idea of the Magen Avraham L'Shitasa, that's my suggestion. Take it or leave it. But in terms of, if you want to have a completely different explanation of this machlokas, I saw this in a footnote, in a ha'ara on the bottom of the page, Rav Usher Weiss suggested that this may relate to the machlokas that we have, which does include the Magen Avraham as well, about the definition of mitzvah seseches man grama. If you have a mitzvah which is limited to a certain time, but not necessarily for halachic reasons, but just for mitzvahs reasons, does that constitute mitzvah seseches man grama or not? The classic machlokas that elucidates this point is the machlokas about Kiddush Levana. Are women obligated in Kiddush Levana or not? We know the Kiddush Levana can only be said till a certain time in the month. So the Magen Avraham says women are pater. Same thing here, women are pater. It's limited to a certain time of the month. Or certain time of the night, certain time of the month. And there, the Chachma Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger, very famously argues on the Magen Avraham and says, what are you talking about? It's not a halacha that you can only say... that you can only do Kiddush Levana until Yudal, until the middle of the month. It's that you have to be able to see the moon. It's a metzias of when the moon is showing, and therefore it's only showing until the first half of the moon, the month. But just because it's a metzias, that's not halacha in time, it's halacha in the metzias of the moon. And therefore, that should not count as a mitzvah seches man grama. So Rav Asher Weiss suggested perhaps it's the same machlokas here, and in that vein, the Magen Avraham is l'shitaso, that he holds, even if it's limited but for metzias reasons, but if it's limited, it's limited, and therefore that would be an exemption. Whereas perhaps Elia Rava, he wants to say a whole longer Shlomo Kluger. But again, maybe another time, we have in the past, maybe another time in the future, we'll have a whole shir just about seches man grama. That's its own it's a much bigger topic in its own right. I don't want to get bogged down in that, because that's, I'm just throwing it out there to give you, you know, a change of pace. But let's get back to now to Hamapil, and let's do one final topic tonight. I have 15 more minutes, but I'll condense it into two. Start your watches. Hamapil. Hamapil is in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach Amud Beis. I mentioned it to you. I already mentioned to the fact that there's a machlokas for Shonim. What's the order? Do you say Kriya Shema first, or do you say Hamapil first? But there's really a very interesting machlokas Achronim, which I saw discussed in a number of places. And this I'll just give you, I'll give you a little taste of it, and we'll have to save the details for another time. There's a machlokas, a consistent machlokas, between the Chai Adam and the Mishnah Berurah. The bracha of Hamapil, what kind of bracha is that? Is it a bracha Shevach v'Hoda'a, or is it a bracha Sanenin? Now, those are clearly both very good candidates, because you certainly have to say Shevach v'Hoda'a on sleep. Right, well, what's the greatest thing ever, sleep? But it's also the greatest hana ever. Certainly it's worth a berachas hanan. A good nap, a good night's sleep, and hana gadol mizeh. So you can see, I haven't had one in so many years, but I remember what it was like. And it's really a tremendous thing to have a good night's sleep. So, if you talk, what type of bracha is it? The Chai Adam seems to say, and not in so many words, but it's clear that he holds, it's a bracha shavuach hodah. Meaning you're not making a bracha on the fact that I'm about to go to sleep. You're making a bracha thanking Hashem for the thing called sleep. God gave us sleep. Not that I'm about to sleep. The Mishnah Berurah is consistent in the Mishnah Berurah in Bav Makom, as well as in the Bir Halacha, that it's narrow. It's not a general. I'm about to have a hana. I'm about to go to sleep. And therefore, about my actual sleep, I'm thanking Hashem or having, in a sense, in essence, a berachas hananin. What do the nafkamin mean is how does this machlokas express itself? In a number of fascinating ways. For example, do we have the hang up Joey of Hefsek or not? So the Mishnah Berurah and others are very hung up about the idea of Hefsek, and it's all based on their general approach that this is a berachas hananin, so to speak, about my actual sleep. So if I do that, then I can't have a hefsek. That's no question correctly. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah says you can't eat afterwards, you can't talk afterwards. And the biggest issue, says the Mishnah Berurah, one of the other issues is, because if I'm in doubt if I said it or not, so then I would say safach brachos lo hakel, just like we would for any other brachos anenin. And just to show you how far one could take it, and here, even though it's a chumrah in other directions, here would come a kula. The Chazon Ish says, what if you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is it Asher Yotzer or not? Well, I think not if you wake up. Let's see, you went to the bathroom before you fall asleep. Let's make it even simpler. 10 minutes later, you're still not asleep and you have to go to the bathroom. That's why you're still awake. Do you say Asher Yotzer? They say in the name of the Chazon Ish, no. If you don't say Asher Yotzer, it's a hefsek. That's a big chiddush. But Sternbach has a tshuva back and forth on this Chazon Ish. But that just, again, I'm running. That's just to show you, that's a whole line of thought about the approach. The Chayadim has a completely different approach. It's a Shavuot Hodah, not about my sleep. It's in general about sleeping, and there are a number of therefores that come from that. For example, the biggest one, which is what Bir Halacha got so upset about, what if you're not sure you're going to fall asleep? As it is, you have a big test tomorrow, a big appointment tomorrow. It's 2 hours, so you have to wake up anyway. Your mind's racing. You're not even sure you're going to fall asleep. Do you say it or not? Is there a problem if you said it? So the Chayyab says there's no problem. Say it and there's no problem if you don't fall asleep. Because you're not saying it about you going to sleep. You're saying it about Hashem gave us sleep, like Birchas HaShachar. That's the Bir Halacha. What are you talking about? That'd be a Bracha Levatala. How could you do it? How could you do it? That's the Bir Halacha quotes the Lashon. The Bir Halacha's Raya is from the Lashon. Exactly right. Very good. So, there's a few other things. What about if you are mafsik? If you are mafsik, right? The leftover meat casserole was just calling you from the kitchen. You just had to go back for that midnight snack. And you are mafsik. So you have to make another hamapil. So, if Yaakov Emden in the Siddur says yes, Pesach Tavir says no. L'chora, it's the same issue as a machlokest. I'm running out of time. So, just to tell you that there is this interesting machlokest that is out there. I saw him from Rav Zilberstein in the Sefer Aleinu L'Shabayach. What about if you're going to get all interrupted, but your child wakes up and is crying? Can you talk? Is that an issue? So he says, well, maybe that's another nafkamina of the machlokas. Right? So I hold that the fathers hold that it's a machlokas. I can't do it. It's a hefzik. And the mothers hold like the chayadim, they can do it. He suggests, in all seriousness, Sharp. He holds that perhaps you could say that this is all the tzarach shena. Therefore, even if you hold like Mishabura, it wouldn't be half sick. It's a tzarach their shein, a tzarach your shein, or whatever. It's in Alein L'Shabach. It's an interesting kind of safer. Anyway, but he does discuss that. Anyway, one last thing to mention. That's the second machlokas. That's the machlokas. You have to repeat or not. That's a different machlokas about half sick. Do you have to repeat or not? Rav Yaakov Emden holds, you do have to repeat it. I'm not sure. I would think even momentarily, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Two more things. Number one is, there are those, I don't know, raise your hand. Does anyone here say Hamapa with Shema Malchus? Right, so that's a discussion. That is really a discussion. It seems to be, the whole premise of Hefsek assumes that you said Hashem's name. You said a real bracha. A number of poskim, including the Ben Ish Chai, some of the Sfarishim poskim, and others, Beferis say, because they're worried about hafsek, because you're not a Sephardi, Freud Friedman, they say that because they're worried about hafsek, they dafka don't use Shema Malchus. So then that's the way to solve the whole problem. You don't have to worry about it. And finally, I just mentioned to you one last issue, which is really, really interesting. There's a Tosfos HaRosh and Brachos on this Gemara Daf Samach, who quotes from a Ravid, who says the following. Elokai Neshama, in the morning. Shasatabi Tahorahi. Then we say a Bracha. Machazir, Shemos Kavimei Sim. How come it doesn't start with a Baruch? Why isn't it Paseach B'Baruch? So the Tosfos HaRosh quotes from the Ravid. It's a Bracha Arichta from Hamapil. That's a Bracha from Hamapil. So, it's a tremendous Kiddush. One thing for sure you see, he holds the Baruch Shavu Vodah. Just like Aluk HaNeshama is obviously Baruch Shavu Vodah. Alright, have a good evening, a good Shabbos, and stay tuned, yeah, a good summer. I just, for those who are interested, I will be speaking in the Aguda for Parshas Vayeshanan. I got the call.